This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. First of all, my dearest sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The topic that I've decided to speak about today is to speak about the manners of sleeping. You know, I often get a lot of sisters contacting me because they have bad dreams, or you know, they have these dreams that disturb them. So I want to speak a little bit about the manners that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, you know, before sleeping. And these manners can really help you, inshallah, to calm yourself down, and also most importantly, get the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you before sleeping, that will help to keep away these bad dreams, inshallah. So before we go on to speak about those manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want to first of all just take a few moments to reflect upon this blessing of sleep, because Allah ta'ala in the Quran, He tells us in Surah Ar-Rum, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَابْتِغَاءُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يَسْمَعُونَ. That from the signs of Allah is your sleep by night and by day. وَابْتِغَاءُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. And that you're seeking of rizq, seeking of His provision. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يَسْمَعُونَ. So this is from the signs that Allah wants us as believers to ponder on. And truly, you know, sleep is something very amazing. Like, even until now, scientists do not understand why we sleep. Like, they don't actually understand why we sleep, but they know that it's of huge benefit. Like, we need to sleep. They can see that when we sleep, you know, you've probably heard that your cells replenish, and all of these different things happen to us when we sleep. So we need to sleep. We cannot go without sleeping. And you can only, there are some people who suffer from, you know, illnesses where they can't sleep, and anyone who doesn't sleep cannot survive for very long. You know, humans must sleep. It's a human need to sleep. So no matter how strong a person is, no matter how much money they have, how strong they are, but a person needs to sleep. And through sleep, Allah is also showing us how we are subjected to His command, whether we like it or not. You know, as Muslims, alhamdulillah, we surrender to His commands, both His religious commands and His universal commands. But everybody and everything in the heavens and the earth is surrendering to Allah, whether they like it or not, in His universal commands. No one can escape. And this is why sleep is a sign to us of that. Because what person can say, I'm not going to sleep? They don't have a choice. They have to sleep. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us in this that you think you're so strong, man. You know, you think, oh human, that you're so strong. Try to resist sleeping. You can't. So it shows you, Allah is showing you your weakness through that. And also Allah is showing us His power and perfection, because Allah does not need to sleep. Allah does not need to sleep. In fact, He never even gets weary or tired. As Allah tells us in Ayat Kursi, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Allah never gets, you know, fatigued or tired, and nor does He need to sleep. So this is how Allah is different than His creations. So subhanAllah, this is some of the things that we need to reflect upon when we're thinking about sleep. And also to reflect upon the blessing of Allah that He created night for us to have this sleep. Like, He created the correct, you know, He created the right environment for us to, you know, calm ourselves down and to find proper rest. Like, if you know that if you sleep in broad daylight, it's not as restful as when you sleep in a very dark room. And, you know, that's why it's advised, like, if you want to get a proper sleep, you should make the room very dark and not allow any light in these things. So Allah tells us in the Quran, for example, وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتَ وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسَ وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشَ. So we made your sleep You know, Allah Ta'ala tells us that He made the night as a covering. He made a night as a covering for you. And the day for your seeking your livelihood. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the perfect environments for us. Like I said, also imagine if, like, you know, overseas, for example, there are in some countries where they have nights like 6 months of the year, and then they have day like 6 months of the year. You know, it's basically day 6 months of the year. And they say that those people, like, during their day when it's the dark months, they're very slow. Like, they find it very hard to be very productive. And because, you know, the darkness makes you feel tired. Like, you know yourselves, like, I know myself, every day it's a dark day, I find it very hard to get going. Like, when it's a, you know, a cloudy, dark day, it's like, and sometimes you even feel a bit down. It has an impact even on your emotional state often. But subhanAllah, imagine living for 6 months in that darkness. Like, you know, you'll feel like you don't feel very active. Whereas when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the day bright like this, you feel like, you know, it helps you to be productive and go seek your living and these things. So subhanAllah, we need to reflect on, you know, sleep. Everything we should reflect upon. But because we're going to be talking, inshallah, about, you know, the issue of dreams. And, you know, and the manners of sleeping, it's important for us to reflect upon this blessing of sleep and not take it for granted. Because as Muslims, Allah Ta'ala wants us to be mindful of everything. He wants us to reflect on all of our blessings, each and every one of them. And don't take anything for granted. Because it's by that, the more you reflect upon the blessings of Allah, the more you'll feel closer to Allah. Like, you'll feel the love of Allah in your heart. You know, you feel the sweetness of Iman in your heart. The more that you teach yourself to reflect upon His blessings and His signs that are all around you. Everything in the universe, everything in yourself, everything in the world, it's all a sign. And Allah wants us to reflect upon it in order for us to know Him more. Another of the things we should reflect upon as well when it comes to sleep is that sleep is as the Messenger of Allah taught us, it's the twin brother of death. So, because look at yourself when you sleep, you don't have any control over yourself. You have no control whether you're going to wake up or not in the morning. So you're completely under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you sleep, you know. And we do things in our sleep, we don't even remember what we've done, you know. But the person when they sleep is very similar to someone who's passed away, because your body becomes limp, you know. All of these different things, physiological changes happen to you when you sleep. So these are all things that we need to reflect upon when it comes to sleeping. But the other thing that also as believers we need to reflect upon when it comes to sleeping is that although sleeping is a habit, it's something that is we must do, but at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us, you know, He wants us to raise our level from just doing things like animals, where we just do everything by habit and we just eat and drink and there's no purpose in our lives. He wants us to raise our level above that and do everything with a meaningful purpose. So that even sleep should have a meaningful purpose behind it. And that by doing that and attaching the meaning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like attaching your purpose to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you change that habit into an ibadah. You change that habit into an act of worship for yourself. And this is how, you know, this is from a mercy of Allah that He, you know, depending on your intention, you can change your whole life for the sake of Allah. You can make all your life for the sake of Allah, regardless of what it is. You know, as Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say that my prayers and my sacrifice and my living and my dying is all for Allah, Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of the worlds. So you elevate your life to a whole different level, where your whole life is for Allah. So when I sleep, it's for Allah. When I wake up, it's for Allah. When I look after my children in the day, it's for Allah. When I, you know, serve my husband, it's for Allah. Whatever I do is for Allah. When I help my parents, when I'm good to my parents, it's all for Allah. So you change everything in your life for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So this is, yani, and the difference between, so this, you know, sleep, when we're talking about sleep, sleep is usually permissible, of course, but sleep can take on different levels. So if somebody remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before they sleep, and they have the intention that that sleep is a part of resting so that they can wake up and worship Allah, then sleep will become a rewardable act for that person. Not just a permissible act, but rather you're even rewarded for your sleep. And in fact, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, I seek reward for my sleep just as I seek reward for my qiyam al-layl. So just as he would seek reward and hope for nearness to Allah through his waking up at night and praying to Allah, he would seek reward from Allah even through his sleep because of his intention. So intention is everything. But on the other hand, my dear sisters, sleep can also become a sin for us if we have the wrong intention. And I'll give an example of that. If somebody knew that they have to wake up for Salat Fajr on time, but they purposely said to themselves, I'm not going to set the alarm to wake up because I'm just going to let myself sleep through on purpose, even though they knew that praying Fajr on time is a fard, like it's wajib to pray your Fajr prayer on time. So if they went to bed at night and said, I'm purposely not going to wake up because I just want to sleep through, I'm not going to care about praying my Fajr prayer, right? Then if that's what happened, you know, they would get a sin for that sleep because they went to bed with a bad intention. Like they went to sleep upon a bad intention where they let their sleep become a priority over something that Allah made fard on them, something that Allah made compulsory upon them. So this is where sleep, even though it's normally permissible, could become a sin for someone. So we have to be aware of that. We shouldn't purposely sleep through Fajr. It's different than if you accidentally slept through Fajr, like your alarm didn't go off, you know, or you accidentally didn't wake up on time. But that shouldn't be something we do every single day. If we're doing that every single day, there's something wrong. We need to make some changes to prevent that from happening because it is fard to pray our Fajr prayer on time. And it's a major sin not to. As with all the prayers, you're not allowed to pray them. You're not going to pray Fajr after sunrise. Now we're going to move on and talk about some of the manners before sleeping. And as I was saying, the reason I decided to talk about this is because I very frequently do get a lot of sisters contact me disturbed about dreams they're having, you know, worried what they should do and things like that. And so it's very important for us to speak about what are these manners before sleeping, because these manners, you know, can help us from, inshallah, being exposed to having these bad dreams. So from the very important things that I should mention in starting off is if, and this is something you should think about, that if you're having bad dreams, it's important for you to also reflect to make sure you're not falling into any major sins. And to also think about what are you doing before you go to bed. Because those type of things could affect someone from, you know, could affect someone in their dreams. Like if someone is doing a lot of major sins, that could cause them to start to have some bad dreams. Like for example, recently, a sister contacted me. I don't even know this sister. Okay, she's in another country. And she contacted me and she told me that for the last couple of months, she's been having very disturbing dreams. And so then I started talking to her a little bit and I just, because her dream, she's having nightmares. So I asked this sister, I said to her, sister, do you pray? And she said, actually, I stopped praying a few months ago. So the first thing I said to her, I said, if you want the protection from Allah when you sleep and you want to keep shaitan away from you when you sleep, that it's very important that you're praying your five prayers. So it is important for us to reflect upon our life. Maybe we're having these dreams. Maybe shaitan is able to come to us in our dreams because of some major sins that we're involving ourselves in. You know what I mean? And so we've made ourselves weak to shaitan. So we do need to reflect upon our lives. If we're having nightmares and having bad dreams, it could be, yeah, it's not always, but it could be due to, you know, falling into sins. And also another thing is, have a look at what you're doing before going to bed. Like, it is not advisable, for example, to have a fight with your husband before going to bed. It's true. It's not advisable. If you're really upset about something, I never would advise anyone to have it out with your husband at night. Wait till the morning, sleep on it, try to let it wait till the morning, because it's very disturbing if you get very upset at night and go to bed very upset. It could easily cause you to have bad dreams when you sleep, you know. So try to be at night. You need to get yourself into a calm state, you know, mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, relaxing yourself down. Don't let things upset you. Don't try not to scream at night, especially, you know, I'll be honest with you, even don't try and scream at all, but especially at night, don't let yourself scream, because it's very bad for your body to be like screaming, especially at night, okay? And pay attention to what you're listening to. Like, if someone, for example, listens to music at night, or maybe they're looking at haram things, you know, watching something haram on television, or, you know, on the internet now, there's so much haram. So if that happened to you, if you slept after, you know, viewing that, that could cause you to have bad dreams. Like, and don't expect that if you're watching horror movies, you know, don't expect that if you're watching horror movies and you're watching murders and stuff like that, that you might not have a bad dream as well. And I came to the conclusion many years ago that a lot of these horror movies, especially the very evil ones, they are really just a door of shaitan to get to us. So you need to close that door, right? You need to close the door. A lot of these movies, I strongly believe they are not halal for us to watch, because they have really evil, they're really evil. They're really satanic. And it's really just really a door for shaitan to come through and affect people. You know, affect people to make them lose, you know, like weak, to make them weak and make them afraid. To make them afraid of everything. And you know, you understand? So it's actually something that the shaitan uses to weaken you. So that's why stay away from these movies. Close the door to these type of movies altogether. So remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important, like I said. And watching the type of actions you do before sleeping, because this will have an effect on... this can have an effect on what you'll see when you sleep. All right, so let's talk about some of the manners. So talking about some of the manners before sleeping, one of the manners that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us is to try to take wudu before sleeping. Try to sleep on a state of tahara. Even if one has been intimate with one's husband, it's still mustahab to go and take wudu. You don't have to take ghusl before sleeping. If you've been intimate with your husband, you don't actually have to take ghusl before sleeping. And sometimes it's difficult to do that. It's late and you're tired and you don't want to take a whole shower and everything. But just take wudu if you're able. It's mustahab to sleep upon wudu. Of course, if you're menstruating, you can't take wudu. There's no use in taking wudu if you're menstruating, but you can still remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially when you're menstruating, try to remember Allah more than usual, because you're more, you know, in a certain way, because you're remembering Allah less through not praying and stuff like that. You need to bolster it up in other ways by remembering Allah in other ways. Okay? So to sleep on a tahara, to sleep on in a state of purity if you're able, this is recommended, and it's an extra protection against shaitan. Okay, because we know shaitan can come to us when we're sleeping. And when he comes, he'll cause you to have disturbing dreams. He wants to make you sad. The shaitan's goal, he wants to make you feel weak. He wants to make you feel sad. He wants to put fright into your heart. That's what the shaitan tries to do. And you have to strengthen yourself by using these etiquettes before sleeping. Another of the... recommended actions before sleeping is to sleep on one's right side. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he directed us to taking wudu before sleeping and then to lie down on one's right side. And one of the wisdoms that's been mentioned behind this is that, you know, the left side, you know, the heart is closer to the left side of the body. And so if you sleep on the left side, it makes one more heavier, like you have a more heavy type of sleep. So when you lie on your right side, your sleep lighter. And therefore, you know, you can wake up easier if you want to wake up to pray or something like that, inshallah. And then, like I said, be conscious of remembering Allah before sleeping. Try to mention Allah before sleeping. So we should try to at least say a few du'as, or, you know, at least a few ayat of the Quran before we sleep to remember Allah before sleeping. And, you know, dhikr of Allah is a big protection from shaitan. And also, when you think of it, if we want to remember Allah in our final moments, if we can't even remember Allah before sleeping, how do we hope to remember Allah when we're going through sakaratul maut? Like when we're going through the final stages of death and we want to die on La ilaha illallah, and to be able to say that in our final moments, how are we going to be strong enough to do that if we can't even be strong enough to remember Allah before sleeping? See, so it is very important for us to get ourselves in the habit of at least saying some adhkar or something before sleeping. And one of the most important things that you should say before sleeping, even if you don't say anything else, is to say Ayat al-Kursi. You know, Ayat al-Kursi, the short ayah that you can find in Surah Al-Baqarah. And this is a protection from the shaitan. And it's mentioned in the hadith that Allah sends an angel to guard over you when you're sleeping, and it keeps the shaitan away from you. And we should always teach our children to say Ayat al-Kursi before sleeping. When they're too small to say it, then we should say it for them. Like when they're a baby, some people, you know, they used to put those little, you know, they used to put these little things on when the baby sleeps, you know, to put them to sleep. That's not a good thing, to put your baby to sleep with some little lullaby machine. You stand there and you recite Ayat al-Kursi to them. That's what is better than hearing the beautiful mother's voice that the baby loves, you know, and you're saying the Quran. So your child gets used to going to sleep with the Quran, you know, and that builds up their love for the Quran in their heart, you know, because the sleep, just before sleeping, is one of the most beautiful times. You know, it's the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful times to bond with your children is just before sleeping. So you give them a hug, you give them a kiss, you read Ayat al-Kursi to them, and you're stroking their hair. Can you imagine how they grow up always, you know, remembering that bond that you had just before sleeping, that you had with them? And this will help them, inshallah, not to have bad dreams. Like, sometimes people complain, you know, my son, my daughter always has bad dreams. You know, subhanAllah, do you read Ayat al-Kursi for your child in the first place? It's important. And then, not only that, my dear sisters, it's not just about reading these ayats. You have to read them with sincerity. You have to read them having your trust in Allah, that by you taking this means of reciting the words of Allah, that Allah is going to protect you through this. So it's not just you read it like empty words. You have to read it with full yaqeen in these words, with full belief in these words, and tawakkul in Allah. You know, having dependence on Allah, that Allah is going to protect you through His words. And then what else can you read before going to sleep? Of course, you can read Surat Al-Ikhlas, Surat Al-Falaq, and Surat An-Nas, the last three surah of the Quran. So you can read these three surahs, and what you do, as the Prophet ﷺ taught us, is to recite each of them three times, and each time you finish the three times, you blow into your hands, and then you wipe over whatever you can reach. Not everything, like some people, they think you go do like wuss and, you know, rub every part of their body. No, just whatever you can reach in bed, like that, you know, like that. Whatever you can reach, you wipe over your body, and you do that. You do that three times. And so by you saying Al-Ikhlas, Surat Al-Ikhlas, this is equal to what the reward of reciting one third of the Quran. Surat Al-Ikhlas is equal to one third of the Quran. And when you recite it, you're declaring and confirming your tawheed in Allah. You're declaring and you're confirming your belief and your belief in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, and that He should be worshipped alone. And when you say Al-Falaq and An-Nas, these are the strongest surahs against the shaitan and protecting yourself from harms, from the harms of all kinds of evil. You're protecting yourself with these words of Allah Ta'ala. So these are some of the things we should recite before sleeping. You can also say the dua that the Prophet ﷺ used to say, Bismillahi amutu wa ahya. Like, in the name of Allah, Amutu wa ahya, like that in the name of Allah I die, and the name of Allah I wake up. Because like I said, sleep is very similar to death. It's like the twin brother or the twin half of death. And there's a lot of reminders in sleep because we don't know if we'll wake up. So at least if we remembered Allah before sleeping, at least we died upon La ilaha illallah. Like at least we died upon dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah. And you know, there's even a narration that mentions that man mata ala shay bu'itha alay. Like whoever died upon something, we resurrected upon something. So if you died remembering Allah, inshallah you'll be resurrected on Yawm Qiyamah also remembering Allah. So it's always worth to try to, you know, focus on remembering Allah before you die in the hope that inshallah you'll be from those who are raised remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm Qiyamah. Then besides that, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his daughter, his beloved daughter Fatima, to say before sleeping, Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times. And that this is better for her than if she was to be given a servant. So that, you know, if you want barakah in your day, if you want to be given strength from Allah in what you have to do during the day, then this is the remedy that the Prophet ﷺ gave to his beloved daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. And why is it another reminder of why it's so important for us to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before we sleep, besides the fact of, you know, trying to protect ourselves as well from having bad experiences when we sleep, and also because of the fact that we want to remember Allah on Yawm Qiyamah, but even there's a narration, it's Sahih, which says, مَنِ اضْطَجَعَ مُضْطَجَعًا لَا يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فِيهِ إِلَّا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ تِرَةً يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. So this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever went to bed, you know, they went to bed and they did not mention Allah when they went to bed, they will, you know, there's no one went to bed, you know, at night not remembering Allah, except it will be a distress for them on Yawm Qiyamah. Like they'll be regretting it. You'll be regretting it. You remember that day, why didn't I mention Allah that one day that I went to sleep? Imagine how many days we went to sleep not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should always, you know, be conscious and be careful to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because even sitting down, would you believe this? Even in the same hadith, it mentions whoever just sat down not mentioning Allah, it will be a regret for them on Yawm Qiyamah. That's how much we'll be regretting all this ghafla. We'll be regretting all this heedlessness of not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. One of the other benefits of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before we sleep, my dear sisters, is that it can help you to wake up for Fajr. Because if you go to sleep remembering Allah, Allah is your main focus in this life. The Akhirah is the main focus in your life. What person would have that as their main focus and not be intending and not have the strong will to wake up for Fajr? Okay, so obviously going to sleep with that strong purpose is going to help you to wake up for Fajr no matter what. And you'll find that the majority of people who don't wake up for Fajr, it's due to mainly two reasons. Either they did some type of sins or something like that before they slept, so they were deprived from waking up for Fajr, or they didn't remember Allah before sleeping. They didn't remember Allah before sleeping, and that's why they were deprived from waking up. Because you might think it's a choice not to wake up, but it's actually Allah deprived you from waking up, subhanAllah. So that's why we need to, you know, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, you know, helps us to wake up, inshallah, on time. Another thing as well, my dear sisters, is if you happen to wake up at night, there are some manners, besides these manners we have before sleeping, there are some manners that the Prophet ﷺ taught us as well if we happen to wake up at night. Now, it is obviously mustahab and very loved if you wake up for Qiyam al-Layl. Even one rakah is loved to wake up and pray before Fajr. Alright? Even, you know, now Qiyam al-Layl you can even pray before sleeping. If you think you can't wake up at the last third of the night, pray two rakat before you sleep is better than not praying any Qiyam al-Layl at all. But besides that, if you wake up at night, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us a dua. I'm going to teach this dua to you, inshallah. If you say this dua, when you wake up at night, you say this dua, And then after that, you make any other dua, and Allah will answer your dua for you. Okay, so if you say this dhikr first of all, and then make any dua after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your dua. And if you were to stand up and pray after that, Allah will accept your prayer. So this dua is very easy to say. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Okay, that's in a lot of duas, you know that one. And then just say, Alhamdulillah, wa subhanallah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa Allahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Allah maghfili. So it's a very easy dua. So say it again. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. And most of you know that because it's in many other duas, right? Then, Alhamdulillah, wa subhanallah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa Allahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Allah maghfili. So all these words are very easy words, nothing complicated. Most of you know all these words, it's just putting them all together. So if you say these words and then you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will answer your dua. So sometimes, like, you might not be able to pray qiyam. Like, you might be on your menstruation and you can't pray qiyam. Or maybe you went to sleep, you're in the state of janaba, so you're not able to get up and, you know, you feel tired and, you know, you don't feel like doing ghusl. But if you wake up at night, you can say this dhikr. So even if we can't pray, if we don't have the energy to pray, the least we can do is when we wake up is to say such du'as like this. Even if you can't say this, just say Allah maghfili. You know, when you wake up at night, remember Allah. Try to mention Allah when you wake up. Astaghfirullah, anything. Just remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you happen to wake up at night. So one more thing I'll mention as well. A couple more things I'll mention as well that can help prevent bad dreams. One of them is you should not lie on your stomach. It's important that we don't lie on our stomach. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade a man from lying on his stomach. And he said to him, do not lie like this, for this is how the people of the hellfire lie. Because when the people, awzubillah, like the people of the fire will be in the fire, they'll be lying down on their stomachs in the fire. So we, you know, our sharia, like our religion teaches us not to resemble the things that shaitan does, not to resemble the people of the fire in any way, or those who will enter the fire. We should never, you know, believers should not resemble the types of habits that the people of fire have, nor should we resemble like the disbelievers. So this is how our sharia teaches us to be different from, you know, the disbelievers and from imitating like shaitan and things like that. And that's a very good reason why people ask, oh, what's wrong with, let's talk about that topic right now since we're there. What's wrong with dressing up for Halloween? It's just a harmless practice. You know, it's just a cultural practice. What's wrong with it? Well, have a look at what you're imitating. You're imitating witches. You're imitating ghosts. You're imitating shaitan. How can you tell me that's halal when our whole sharia teaches us not even to grow your nails long because it's imitating wild animals? So our religion is completely against resembling the shaitan in any way. That's why those people who change the creation of Allah, you know, they do all these crazy things to their faces and their bodies. You know, that's all haram because it's imitating the shaitan. Shaitan wants us to change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you get dressed up for Halloween and you think it's just dressing up as a ghost or a jinn, alhamdulillah, you know, why would you want your children to resemble these evil, evil things? And it's based, the whole tradition, even non-Muslims will tell you that the whole tradition, it's, you know, it's got like an evil type of base to it anyway, the whole thing, right? So this is, yani, if you understand Islam properly and what Allah wants for you to live a pure life, the life that's on the path of the prophets and messengers who came before us, then you won't be inclined to following these types of things that you can see it's a clear deviation away from the path of the prophets and messengers, right? You can use your common sense to see it's not something loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be involved with such things. So like I'm saying, subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us from lying on our stomachs because it's resembling the people of the fire. And interestingly, they found a correlation between placing babies on their stomachs and even cot death. You know, the cot death when babies, suddenly die in their sleep. And they found there's a relationship between placing babies flat on their stomachs. So subhanAllah. So there's always wisdom in our Sharia, even if we don't understand. But it's just sad that we have to have the non-Muslims come and tell us, you know, oh, they discovered this new scientific thing, and then we realized that was already in our Sharia, but we didn't follow it because we didn't see the, you know, we didn't appreciate it until they told us something about it, then we started to appreciate it, right? But in saying this as well, lying on your stomach could cause you to have bad dreams as well. That's why I'm mentioning it as well as part of this. Another thing, it's not encouraged to sleep naked. Okay, so obviously when one is intimate with their husband, that's fine to be naked and sorry to mention such a, like, but we have to talk about it. So talk about a sensitive topic. There's nothing wrong because there's a purpose for being naked, right? There's intimacy happening and there's a purpose for being naked. But once that's happened, it's not encouraged to sleep naked or to, you know, just walk around naked. And, you know, because we have to realize that nakedness makes us vulnerable. Nakedness makes us vulnerable. So, you know, and there are people, you know, there are stories of people who, you know, just used to walk around, for example, naked in their houses. And it is possible that a jinn could fall in love with a woman, for example, through walking around naked, for example. You understand? So, in general, the Prophet ﷺ taught us that there's an authentic hadith that speaks about who you should show your awrah to is only to your wife or to your husband. And even in front of Allah, that Allah is more deserving that you're shy of Him. That you don't just walk boldly around. So, you know, there's modesty. Islam teaches us haya, even if we're alone. There's haya. There's modesty when we're alone. We don't start copying off the disbelievers in the way they are with just complete boldness. Like they've got no feelings. They've got no sensitivity. You know, like to being naked. They don't care. They'll even go in front of people naked. They've got no sensitivity whatsoever. Like Islam, we're not like that. We have shyness, but of course, being naked is halal between a husband and wife. Like it's important for a healthy relationship. And if a man and a woman are not seeing each other in that situation, in their married life, then they might seek. Haram means outside. So this is important for us to have a fulfilling marital relationship with each other. But in saying that, once that's over, like it's not advisable to sleep naked. This could also cause you possibly to have, you know, bad dreams as well, because it's not a natural state to, you know, to sleep naked. But I mean, you should cover yourself, you know, cover yourself and not sleep like that. Anyway, but they are some of the manners of sleeping. And I'm going to move on now and just speak a little bit more specifically about dreams. So like we spoke about, you know, sleep, trying to sleep in a state of tahara, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before sleeping. And then besides that, even just pay attention to your mental state. You know, when you go to sleep, put your trust in Allah. You're submitting to Allah. You're under the complete control of, like, you're under His protection. So, you know, put your tawakkul on Allah, that Allah is going to look after you while you're sleeping, right? Put that comfort in your heart that inshallah Allah is going to look after you. You've taken your means, you've done your best to prevent any bad dreams, and you're going to put your trust in Allah. And one of the great scholars said, you know, if you correct your actions by day, when you correct your actions by day, your dreams will be true at night, like in a good way. You're going to have, inshallah, good dreams and which are true the more you try to correct your actions during the day. So one thing I want to really deal with here is it's very important that we don't become so over-concerned with our dreams. People became too over-concerned with their dreams. And like I said before, if you are that type where you're paranoid of your dreams, that is a door of shaitan to come to you to make you weak. Because like I said before, what does shaitan want? He wants to weaken you as a believer. He wants to frighten you. So that's what he tries to do. He wants to play with you. He loves it. He loves to make the Bani Adam feel weak and vulnerable. So you should not let him win. You should not let him succeed. And you should realize that dreams cannot harm you. Whatever dream you have, no matter how bad it is, it cannot harm you. It cannot harm you. It's just from the shaitan, and you should not worry about it. It's just shaitan trying to cause sadness or fear in your heart. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ taught us how to deal with dreams, bad dreams. He taught us how to deal with bad dreams. That if one of you sees a bad dream, something that disturbs your, you know, disturbs you, makes you feel anxious or sad, to say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim." So the first thing you should do is seek protection in Allah from that dream. And then to spit dryly over your left shoulder 3 times. Like that. You spit dryly over your left shoulder 3 times. And when you say "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim," it's important that you have in your heart that you're saying, "Ya Allah, I seek protection in you, and that I know that you are the ultimate, you are my only protector and my ultimate protector. That if I seek protection in you, that it's enough. It's enough if I seek protection in you, Ya Allah." Okay? So you need to have you need to put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah will be enough for you by you seeking protection in Him. The other thing that we're advised to do when you have a bad dream is to turn to the other side. So if you were sleeping on your right side and you had a bad dream, turn to your left side. Or if you were sleeping on your left side when you were having that bad dream, turn to your right side. So change the position in your bed. This will help you. And the most important thing, dear sisters, let go of it. Don't let it worry you. If you know that it can't harm you, then you'll know you can let go of it easily. You've sought protection in Allah. It cannot harm you. So turn to the other side and forget all about it. It's nothing. Do not let it worry you. It's just shaitan trying to come to you in your dream. Right? Then, just say another dream came to you, which is very rare. Once you've done this, it's very rare to have a second bad dream in one night. But let's just say it did happen. Then what you should do is don't continue sleeping. Wake up, go and take wudu and pray. That's what you should do. Don't succumb yourself. If shaitan decided he's going to play with you that night, you're not going to let him win. So that will burn the shaitan. By you getting up and taking wudu and praying to Allah, this harms the shaitan. It weakens him so much, because instead of him winning by you crying in your bed and having an anxiety attack because you're so worried about what that dream meant, you did the opposite. You went and you went to wudu and you prayed and you remembered Allah. That kills shaitan. Wallahi, that kills shaitan. So you do the opposite of what shaitan wants. Okay? And then you weaken the shaitan like this. Now, one thing the Prophet ﷺ taught us in an authentic hadith is that أَرُؤْيَا عَلَى رِجْلِي طَائِرْ مَا لَمْ تُعَبَّرْ فَإِذَا عُبِرَتْ وَقَعَتْ. So the Prophet ﷺ taught us that a dream is like the feet of a bird. Now, what does it mean? It means a dream is not, how can I say, it's not something stable. A dream is not something stable. It's not something firm to depend upon at all. And it's not something stable. Because just like a bird, you know when birds come to perch, birds don't perch on branches. Like they go to one branch and then they jump from perch. They jump from branch to branch. They don't stay stable on the branches. This is like dreams. Dreams, like they're fluctuating. They could mean good, they could mean bad. It's not, there's nothing stable with the dream. Until you go and try to make something of it and decide what that dream means. So if you interpret it in a bad way, then it becomes real to you that it means that. You understand? So this is why you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't look too much into your dreams and worry about them, because otherwise, it becomes like real to you, and you'll start looking for evidence in your life to try to make that dream come true. Do you understand? So you shouldn't do that. You should not pay attention to it, not worry about it, and just let it go. The other thing is with that is it's very important when you've had a dream not to tell people about it, especially a bad dream. Don't tell people your bad dreams. That's something the Prophet ﷺ taught us. That you don't tell anybody about it. He said if one of you sees something he dislikes in a dream, then let him get up and pray and don't tell anybody about it. Don't tell anybody about it, because when you tell somebody about it, you give satisfaction to Shaitan because he knows that he's been able to affect you. And also when you say it, it becomes more real to you as well. If you just let it go, if you just had it in your mind and you let it go, you would have probably forgotten about it. But as soon as you go tell someone, it becomes more realistic and, you know, becomes more, you bring it to life by talking about it. Okay, so that's why you shouldn't tell people about it. But just say you had a recurring bad dream. In this case, you should only consult either a scholar or someone who's a sincere advisor who's got knowledge of the religion. If you don't do that, what can happen is, unfortunately, there are a lot of people who are not very sincere. And when you tell them something about a dream you've had, they interpret it in the worst way. That makes you lose all hope. Like already you're disturbed from your dream. And then you go to someone who's not very, you know, maybe they don't have much knowledge or they're not very sincere. They go and say, like, for example, there was one man, he had a dream that all his teeth fell out. So he went to a scholar and he said, what does this mean? He said, it means all your family is going to die and you're going to die. So what do you think happened to that man? He becomes like so worried and concerned and, you know what I mean? Like, just imagine your anxiety levels, right? Then he went to someone else, a scholar, and he asked him, what does this dream mean? He said, it means you're going to live for a long time. You're going to outlive all your family members. You're going to live such a long life that all your family members will go before you until eventually you'll be taken. So like, imagine that interpretation is far more beautiful on your naps to hear that you're going to live a long life. Obviously, you're going to live a long life means that most people you know are going to pass away before you. It's different than saying to you that all your family is going to die and you're going to die. You know, everybody's going to die, but it's the way you say it that makes a big difference, right? So you do have to be careful and realize that there are some people who are not sincere who they try to get you to be attached to them. Now, Allah does not want us to have false attachments. He wants us to always have tawakkul in Him alone. But through dreams, a lot of people become falsely attached to people. So they think that this person can interpret all my dreams for me. And unfortunately, it's the majority of women who tend to get involved with this. Like, so you can see whole TV channels are set up, especially in the Arab world. Let me tell you, there are TV, you know, shows where the whole show is all about interpretation of dreams. And like, you know, everyone rings up and I had this dream, can you tell what this means? And honestly, it's pretty much like the horoscope. It's pretty much the same, the way they do it, it's pretty much the same as the horoscope thing or, you know, fortune tellers. It's the same type of thing. So that's why all of that is haram, because you put your trust in these people. Even people who do ruqya, who are not sincere, they make you feel like you need them. So that you build up a false dependence on them that only if I go to her, I can get healed from the jinn. Only if I go to him and he reads on me, I can get, that he'll be able to lift the evil eye from me. That's a false attachment. And the same thing with this interpretation of dreams. Only if I go to this person that, you know, I can feel calm in my dreams. So you build up a false dependence on people. And Allah does not love that. That's not from the true mutawakkilin. Allah wants us to be from the true mutawakkilin, the true people of tawakkul, where we depend on Allah alone. We don't have hope and we don't have fear from anyone except Allah tabaraka ta'ala. Not to have false fear and false hopes in the creations. Okay, so it's a deficiency in tawheed. It comes under having a deficiency in tawheed when you build up false sense of dependence on anyone besides Allah tabaraka ta'ala. Another thing is too that interpretations of dreams is a very serious thing. In fact, the scholars said it actually comes under giving a fatwa. So people should not just be giving interpretations of dreams willy-nilly, because it's actually a very serious matter. And that's why in Surah Yusuf, for example, Allah says, "Aftuni fi ru'yaya." He uses the word fatwa. You know, so the word fatwa, you know, is incorporated in this word aftuni. So it's not a simple matter thinking that you can just go and interpret someone's dream for them. You know, but by all means, if you have a good dream, if you tell someone who you, that you love, if you had a good dream, don't tell anyone except you love or someone who's sincere and they have knowledge, so that they will give you a good interpretation of what it means. Because if that person doesn't really love you and they're not, you know, a sincere advisor, then they can feel jealous of you. Believe me, people can feel jealous because of a dream. Like if you told them you had a dream about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they can feel jealous of that. Or if you had a dream you went for Hajj, they can feel jealous of that. Or you had a dream you had a, that you got blessed with a good husband. Yani, subhanAllah, you'd be surprised. People just a dream, it's not even, it hasn't even come true. They feel jealous, you know? That's why you shouldn't just tell anybody. So like, for example, you know your mum loves you. If you said, oh mum, mashallah, I had this beautiful dream that I got married to this very righteous man. That's fine. You can tell your mum, she's got the best intention for you. That's all right to tell someone like that your dream. Or, you know, your husband. So, yeah, do you understand? Someone who's got the best intentions towards you, or someone who's got knowledge that you know they're going to fear Allah in giving you a good interpretation for your dream. Okay, so this is some of the things we have to realize. But another thing I should also mention about dreams is that a lot of people, what they think just go get a book and interpret a dream, interpret their dreams through what the book says. You know, they go get a book about the book of dreams and they say, okay, I'm just going to interpret my dreams. So for a start, a lot of these books are not authentically, they're not authentically attributed to their authors. Like there's a book that is supposed to be written by Ibn Sirin, who was a famous scholar. But in fact, the scholars have done lots of books or researches on this book. They said that it's been falsely attributed to Ibn Sirin. So they don't even know who wrote that book. So you shouldn't get that book and say, you know, this is the book of, you know, interpretation of dreams. I'm going to try to apply it. But even if you could find an authentic book about dreams, even if it says that, for example, you saw milk, it means you're going to have ilm or something like that. The way that you interpret a dream also depends on the person themselves. So you can't just take something that means something to someone, doesn't mean it's going to apply to you. That's why you can't just go and think that you're going to interpret your own dreams and self-medicate, basically. So in saying all this, my dear sisters, if someone comes to you and tells you about a dream they've had, and they're worried about it, you as a believer should always advise them in the way that's best. You know, Allah says, وَقُولُ لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنَا. Always advise in the best way to your, especially your sisters, you advise them in the best way. Don't ever make them feel more despairing if they've had a bad dream. If they've had a bad dream, you give them words of comfort. You tell them that, don't worry about that dream. It's just from shaitan. It can't harm you. Just put your trust in Allah. And if you know that they're not very, you know, advise them, just say, make sure you do dhikr before you, you know, before you sleep. Make sure you are guiding your prayers. Make sure you're not doing any major sins. Maybe, you know, shaitan's coming to you through that. You know, reflect on your life. You know, so this is how, you know, this is the kind of advice you should be giving sisters if they come to you, you know, if they come to you like with a dream. But just before I forget, it's important that we realize that dreams, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, come into three types of categories. So the first type of dream is the good dream that's from Allah. So this good dream is like a good news that Allah sends to a believer. Now you'll find, this is alhamdulillah, even happened to me personally, just before I'm about to go through a big trial, I found that sometimes Allah has sent me a beautiful true dream, and the reason why Allah sends these dreams is to strengthen you. Or maybe you're going through a hardship, Allah will send you a beautiful dream to comfort you. And what is the reason? It's like I said, to support you and strengthen you. To strengthen your iman. Because we live so far away from the times of the prophets and messengers. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the Khatam al-Nabiyyin. He was the seed of the prophets. And there's no more prophets and messengers. So that's why, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is one thing that's been left over for us. The true dream is one part of 46 parts of the, you know, the prophecy that has been left. That, you know, Allah may show a believer a true dream to strengthen them in a time, you know, because we're so far away and we live in times of fitan, you know, where it's hard for us to practice our religion and things like that. So Allah might show us dreams to strengthen us in our iman and keep us on the straight path. So that's the first type of dream. The second type of dream are dreams that cause distress, like we've already spoken a lot about, which are the dreams from Shaitan. They are dreams of distress, which are caused by Shaitan. So Shaitan comes to you to try to cause you distress and grief. And alhamdulillah, now we've seen some of the remedies to prevent that. And also we've looked at the mindset we need to have in dealing with that, right? But then there's a third type of dream as well, which is dreams where a person will, you know, just dream about normal matters of the dunya. Like, so why does that thing come to you in the dream? What were you doing during the day? You looked at something, you know, you heard something, someone spoke to you about something, and then because of that, it came to, you were thinking about it in your subconscious, and it came to you in your sleep. Now, there are some people who may have had something very tragic happen to them as a child. And due to that, it's in their subconscious. And those kind of people, you know, if they're having a lot of nightmares, it might not be because they've done any sins or anything like that. It might be because they've gone through something very tragic in their life. And in that case, they really need to go and deal with that. They need to go and see a psychologist, a counselor, and, you know, go through that, because it's like a trauma. It's like a trauma that they haven't dealt with, and they haven't been able to heal themselves from this trauma. And so it comes out in the form of bad dreams. And so even if your child is having bad dreams constantly, and you know you're reading Ayatul Kursi and things like that, it would be worth your while to go to see, for example, a child pediatrician, just to make sure there's nothing wrong, nothing's wrong with the child that's causing them to have those dreams. Don't just think straight away, oh, they've got jinn or something like that. It could be that something's happened to them that's made them, you know, have that bad dream. So look into those things. Of course, read, if you're worried, no doubt, read over your child. Read the last three. If they keep on having these bad dreams, read the last three surahs of the Quran and blow over them like we mentioned. Put in your trust in Allah that Allah will protect them, and try to teach them to say it for themselves once they're old enough. But also go and look into it. Make sure there's nothing, you know, that's going on that's caused them to have that bad dream. Like, sometimes you might not realize that the show, like, you might let them watch a particular show on TV that's actually making them have a bad dream. Like, you might want to laugh, but when I was little, I started, you know, at one stage I was having some bad dreams, and I was seeing, I thought I saw some things in my bedroom, and you know what it was from? It was from watching Sesame Street and seeing the Cookie Monster. Like, I know it sounds funny, but when you're a little kid and you're only like 2 or 3 years old, like, you might think, oh, how could you be scared of that? But a little kid, like, their imagination can make them scared of things. You know, I remember once when I was overseas, one time my son, like, we never used to watch TV, but then he went into this room and saw something disturbing on TV, and he came back to me and he was really scared, and he couldn't tell me what it was. But then years later, he told me, like, it was something, like, you know, and because a little kid, they can't always work out what's going on. So just make sure they're not watching something or being exposed to something that maybe is causing them to have those bad dreams as well, inshallah. Anyone got any questions about this topic? Okay, so Allahu Alam, this is what I would advise for this. I haven't been in that situation, but I have been in something similar. So I kind of have a little bit of an idea what it's like. So first of all, you might not be able to remember Allah at the moment because you're paralysis, right? So what you've got to do is, first of all, I would say your mindset. The first thing you start with is your mindset. Like, Allah might trial someone with something. Like, there are different types of trials we can go through. One of them could be this paralysis thing that Allah could, like, I know one sister, she contacted me. She said every time, just before her period, she gets this. It's something physiological. Okay, so Allah could trial someone with this type of thing. So what you would do is not be afraid of it. That would be the first step, not to be afraid of it. Because when you become afraid of it, it sets off negative chemicals in the brain, which will actually exacerbate the problem, make it worse. So I would say, not be afraid of it. Surrender to Allah. Put your trust in Allah. Allah is going to take care of you. You know, remember Allah in your heart if you're able. You know, just say, surrender to Allah. You know, Ya Allah, help me to get through this. So something like that, I would say. Just calm yourself down. You know, Allah will take care of me. You know, put your tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So So, and just the mindset is important, because otherwise, like I said, it sets off negative chemicals, and those chemicals, they can wreak absolute havoc on your body. Once those negative thoughts come into the brain, they wreak absolute havoc on the body, in physiological change, you know, physiological effects on the body. So it's important to understand how the brain works, so that you don't get so afraid. Your body can do crazy things all due to just thoughts, you know. So I'd say that, and then inshallah, as it passes, then you wake up, you know, whatever, and you say subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, anything, just alhamdulillah, Allah got me out of that, you know, whatever. Remember Allah, whichever way you're able to at that moment.
Remember, like, I just tried to reach my friends, like, with Quran or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I wasn't praying, so it's not like I'd get out of bed and pray. Mm-hmm. It's like, just would not let me grab that phone, do you know what I mean? Just pulling me back in. And it's seriously, like, as if you could see everything in the room, but your eyes are...
So I think the important thing is, because the more you try to fight,
yeah,
it's going to make you get more panic. You're going to panic more because you can't. Like, you want to pick up your phone and you can't, so you're going to panic. So that's why I'm saying to you, I believe what you should do is surrender to it, and you're putting your trust in Allah. Ya Allah, help me get through this. You know, right at that moment, rather than to try to reach for your phone, just make like du'as in your heart. Ya Allah, help me to get through this. Ya Allah, try to breathe. Try to breathe if you can deeply. And just say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. You know, do you understand, something like that, until it passes? And then when you're able to, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, you know that you're... I would do something like that. It's about surrendering and putting your trust in Allah, inshallah.
Also, sis, just one more question. Say this one about the dreams. I don't know if you can answer it or not, but I've had, like, this recurring dream of the sleep
for you.
So
do you actually
get an answer to that? Or does it...
Like I said to you, like... There could be a multitude of reasons why you're having that. It could be just maybe, you know, you're concerned about losing your teeth in the first place, and shaitan's making you. But you know, it's something that you are worried about.
There's something like, you know.
Yeah, like I said, sometimes, because if you've got certain fears, if you have certain fears, shaitan will try and play on those fears. So I'd really put it down to that more than anything else. You know, I wouldn't pay attention to it at all. I would just, I think. I'm going to tell you that the more you put it into the perspective, the less you're going to have those dreams, inshallah.
I haven't had it for a while, but it still makes me think.
As I said, hopefully this lesson will be helpful to you. As I said, the more that you put it into perspective what these dreams are really all about, because once the shaitan can't come to you through that door anymore, he's not going to bother anymore, because he knows that you're too strong for him. Like, because you've already worked out his tricks on that trick. So he won't, like, it'll go away. You'll find it'll go away. And very, very rarely will you have a bad dream. And if you do, just follow what I said. And inshallah, it won't worry you. Like, you'll even have forgotten. If you do what I said, most likely by the morning, you'll have forgotten. And if not by the morning, by a week or a month, it'll be completely forgotten. You won't even remember what that dream was all about. Inshallah. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay, anybody else got any more questions before we finish? And just I'll mention too, upon waking up, you know, it's important that we remember Allah upon waking up, you know, as well, to say Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatina wa ilayhi nushur, you know, like thanking Allah that He, you know, brought our soul back to life. It is a blessing that Allah returns our soul back to our body after we were sleeping. As I said, because we are truly under the mercy of Allah when we sleep. No one guarantees waking up. We can't wake ourselves up if we want to, if Allah decides to take our soul, kind of long we sleep. So it's important to thank Allah for the blessing of giving us the sleep and bring us back. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the best dreams. We ask Allah Ta'ala to let us see the Prophet wasallam in our dreams, because whoever sees the Prophet wasallam in their dream, then they have seen him. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us the best dreams, the happy dreams that help us to have stronger iman, and to have stronger faith in Allah Ta'ala. And we ask Allah Ta'ala not to let us have false attachments and false dependence upon anyone besides Him, and not to fear anyone besides Him, and not to have hope in anyone besides Him, and to have true tawheed of Him and true tawakkul upon Him, inshallah. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to make us from those who always remember Allah when we go to sleep, when we wake up, throughout our day. At all times, we try to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not make us from the ghafilin, those who are heedless and forgetful of Allah and the next life. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.